Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello, friends. This week we will take a look at what the Bible says about prayer. There is power in prayer, and yet so many people have struggled to have a consistent and effectual prayer life. With this new year underway, it's vital to begin to take a hold of what the Word says to us about prayer. And God wants to encourage you personally, no matter what kind of line of work you may be in, whether you're a bus driver or a secretary, whether you're a businessman or a school teacher, God wants you to become a person powerful in prayer. In the book of James, in the 5th chapter, we find these thrilling words: "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." These words tell us that prayer will result in powerful answers when we go to prayer with fervency and in an effective manner. There truly is power in prayer. Thomas Watson once wrote, "The angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel." Prayer does bring results. I want to encourage you today with a few testimonies of the power of prayer and the phenomenal results that come when a person takes prayer seriously. One outstanding example of the effectiveness and the power of prayer comes from the story of the sinking of the great ship, the Titanic. A man by the name of Colonel Archibald Gracie was on board that ship on April 14, 1912. He had enjoyed a swim in the saltwater pool before retiring to his cabin for the night. After falling asleep, he was awakened by a sudden shock and a noise. Dressing quickly, he ascended to the deck and learned that the ship had collided with an iceberg. At that exact moment in New York, his wife was sleeping. She was suddenly awakened and seized by anxiety, and she sank to her knees holding her prayer book, which by chance opened to the prayer for those at sea. Of course, it was not by chance that that had occurred, but she began praying earnestly until about 5 a.m. when the burden of that anxiety completely lifted. She rested quietly that morning until 8 o'clock when her sister came softly to the door with a newspaper in hand to gently break the tragic news that the Titanic had sunk. But what had happened in the meantime to her husband? He, in his own words, described it in a book entitled Titanic, A Survivor's Story. He said this: "I was in a whirlpool, swirling around and around, and as I tried to cling to the railing as the ship plunged to the depths beneath, down, down I went. It seemed a great distance, but he ended up miraculously ascending to the surface." He says, "I could see no Titanic. She had entirely disappeared beneath the surface of the ocean without a sign of even a wave. A thin, light gray, smoky vapor hung like a pall a few feet above the sea. There arose the most horrible sounds I ever heard by a mortal man, the agonizing cries of death from over 1,000 throats." Colonel Gracie later wrote, "I know of no recorded instance of providential deliverance more directly attributable to prayer than his own deliverance from the icy 28-degree waters that he found himself in when the Titanic sunk beneath the waves." Prayer is powerful, and prayer brings about effective deliveries, even from potential death. The power of prayer can return home the prodigal. The power of prayer can change the heart of the most hardened person. The power of prayer can take hold of needed provision in a financial crisis. The power of prayer can save someone who's in mortal danger, just like Colonel Gracie was in those moments after the Titanic sank. A recent story told to me by a friend gives another account of the power of prayer in delivering someone from mortal danger. A young man was working on his property, clearing a culvert where a creek would flow through. Beavers had dammed up the culvert, backing up the creek, and he was attempting to remove all the debris that was lodged, but he couldn't get it to budge. So he went to the other side of the road, crawled up the culvert, and began from the inside of that dark culvert with only a flashlight in his hand to pull apart all the branches and debris that were clogging up the flow of that water, thinking that he would be able to back himself out once the big clog of debris was moving. He was not worried about being trapped inside, and yet that's exactly what happened to him. The huge mass that had blocked the front of that culvert began to move with the water pushing it forward. He began to back up, trying to back out of the culvert, only to find at the other end that all of the branches and debris that he had flung behind him, thinking they would be carried off down the creek, had created a second wall, and he was literally pinned inside this culvert with a moving mass coming toward him, being pushed by the power of the water behind it. He got to the point, praying fervently, where he was pinned between those two huge masses of wood and debris. Somehow, by the grace of God, he was able to get past the bulky debris, and yet he found himself almost covered overhead with water. He could only have his nose out above the water inside a darkened culvert, and he had lost his flashlight. Pushing against the force of the water, he began to walk back up the culvert, hoping not to be carried away by the force of the water. Meanwhile, his wife was at home. She was doing dishes when suddenly she was gripped with an overwhelming desire to drop to her knees and pray fervently for the safety of her husband. She didn't know what situation he was in, only that he was on the property doing some work. She began to intercede in travail for his safety, and it went on and on and on for an extended period, exceeding an hour, until the burden of it finally lifted and she rose. Within a few minutes, he entered the house to tell of this harrowing experience of nearly being crushed and then drowned inside this culvert where no one would even know he had gone. Prayer is powerful. It's vital that every believer become a person of prayer. Be sensitive to the Spirit of God when moved to pray. God wants to use you as a powerful person of prayer to be one who can pray and see your prayers avail much in the lives of other people. Whether it's for the deliverance of someone in a dangerous situation, the salvation of an unconverted loved one, the return of that wandering prodigal, or to even raise someone from a deathbed, God wants to use you in prayer in your life, regardless of what your occupation is. A minister who worked as a machine operator in a certain plant told the story of how he was working at his machine when suddenly someone came running to him saying, "Come quickly, they want you in front of the shop." And when he went out to the front of the building, he found many employees gathered, and there on the floor lay one of the security guards. The man's eyes were rolled back in his head and his mouth was pulled out of shape. Checking his body, he found absolutely no sign of life. Yet he felt God speak to him and gave him faith to pray. He dropped to his knees right in front of the whole crowd of employees. putting his face close to the victim, he cried out to God in the name of Jesus Christ to raise that man up and restore him to life, that he might be given a chance to repent and be saved. In a matter of seconds, the man sat up and began to talk. The ambulance came and drove him off to the hospital, and there the people all marveled that he was alive. In about 3 weeks' time, the man returned to work. The minister who worked there as well did not say a word to him until one night that man came to him. That night he was gloriously saved. God wants you to be one he can prompt to pray and see effectual answers come to pass that will change people's lives. Join me tomorrow as we continue studying the Word on this subject of the power of prayer. Hi, thanks for listening today. I would like to invite you to prayerfully consider becoming a partner with Hidden with Christ Ministries. We call our partners supply keepers. In the Old Testament, the supply keeper was the one that maintained and distributed the material supplies needed by the soldiers who were going out to the front lines of battle. Our supply keepers help us broadcast the gospel around the world. We are currently broadcasting our program in Russia, in Europe, in North Africa, in the South Pacific, and Australia, and we are longing to expand into the Middle East and to all of Asia. Call us at 1-866-HE-HEALS or email us through our website and let us know that you'd like to become a supply keeper, helping to disciple the nations before the return of our Lord.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.